It's time to get in the loop with LPS, the official podcast of Liberty Public Schools. From the latest school and district news, updates on various district hot topics, and opportunities to meet all of those that help make LPS great, In the Loop with LPS is here to provide yet another opportunity for us to stay connected with you. So let's get started and send you to the longtime director of communications with Liberty Public Schools and your host of In the Loop with LPS, Dallas Ackerman.
And we welcome everyone back. It is a special edition, a summer edition of In the Loop with LPS. This actually was going to be this little moment of, you know, taking a little break, having summer break. But when you have the opportunity to talk to a recently crowned national champion in NCAA, you have to take advantage of it and have this special edition. We are so glad to be joined by 2021 Liberty High School graduate. She's an alum of LPS. Her name is Ashton Maloney, and her Texas Longhorns recently, just earlier this month, at the time of this interview, they were crowned the NCAA champions down in Oklahoma City. And it's so great to have you back here in Liberty, I think for at least a few days visiting family. And so glad you're with us on In the Loop.
Yeah, excited to be here.
My goodness. So what have these last few weeks been like for you? So many people back here in Liberty following you. I'm sure you see the tweets from the softball program back here and the various activities on social media. I can't even imagine what these last few weeks have been for you.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. And just coming home and seeing everyone's support has been really fun. I'm seeing people I haven't seen in a long time telling me congratulations. It's really special. And then just knowing that I have the support back in Liberty has been really awesome for me.
We are going to spend some time, of course, talking about the Natty in Oklahoma City. But I also want to take, and you're actually going to join us for, we're doing this Walk in the Halls segment for our Back to School that will air in early August, leading us to the start of the school year. And we're talking to staff members at buildings. We're talking to alums, which you're going to represent Liberty High as the alum. So we're going to record that segment. And that one will be mainly talking about your time here in Liberty and specifically the Blue Jays at Liberty High School. But take us back to your finest memories at Liberty High, and maybe even tell us your journey through Liberty Public Schools.
I started at Alexander Donovan.
You were a Dolphin.
I was a Dolphin. And then I went to Liberty Middle School and then to Liberty High School, played soccer, softball, basketball over at Liberty. It was just a really good experience for me. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yep. And then you wrap things up, graduate in 21. You had, of course, a decorated career at Liberty High on the softball team, some records, and that, of course, catapulted you to college. But what were some of your fondest memories?
Ooh, in softball, probably beating Staley my sophomore year, I believe. We had lost him my freshman year, so just coming back and being able to do that was always a fond memory. And then just all the trips that we got to take down to Springfield and things like that, and just being with all my teammates. But outside of softball, I mean, winning a state championship in soccer was probably my...
And I saw that show up in your bio. Yeah, and you were goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah.
For the Blue Jays. What's crazy is how fast, and you'll realize this someday, just how fast time goes. I still vividly remember, I used to park by your mom. Of course, your mom's Jill Maloney. She works in our business office here. She's just down the hall from me. She was actually your booking agent for this podcast, just so we certainly want to give her props. But I remember I would park across the parking lot from her, and she had the little sticker on the back of her van that said Ashton, and it was probably your club team.
Yeah.
That seems like yesterday, and here we are in 2025.
But it's crazy how fast it went. I mean, 4 years of high school flew by. It was gone in a blink of an eye. Now I'm going into my fifth year of college. So
that's exciting. Yeah. You're going to be back for another year.
Yeah. Excited.
So you have to share this story. I came across this when I knew this interview would happen. So the story goes that the only reason you really started playing softball is because your dad told you you had to play softball in order to keep playing soccer?
Yeah.
When was this?
This was when I was like 4 or 5, and I liked soccer a lot. And my dad was like, "Well, you have to play t-ball." I was like, "I don't want to play t-ball." "Well, if you want to play t-ball, or if you want to play soccer, then you have to play t-ball too." So that's how I got roped into softball and just started that off. But it's always been soccer first until...
You hear people say this, and I want to go into this a little bit in the next few minutes. As far as growing up and playing, participating in any activity, but specifically with you, sports, how important is it, do you think, to be a multi-sport athlete growing up?
Yeah, I've talked about this a little bit on Monday. I was doing another podcast, and they were asking me, like, diversifying and things like that. Like, I think it's so important to play multiple sports. Like, specializing early nowadays, just there's not as many benefits as there are to play multi-sports. I learned things in soccer that I would never learn in softball. I gained endurance in soccer and basketball that softball just wouldn't give to me. And I think I wouldn't be as athletic if I wasn't playing as many sports as I did growing up. And I think specializing early can have its benefits, but at the same time, I think you miss out on a lot of like athletic development without playing multiple sports.
The thing I remember hearing from coaches back here in a variety of activities is, sure, Ashton Maloney, blessed athletically, but the thing that stood out among that was your competitiveness. Every coach that I've talked to that coached you in some capacity was like, "She is the most competitive person I've ever been around." Where do you get that from?
Probably my dad. I think just like playing like board games and just anything like that, it was always a competition. Growing up with an older sister too. I mean, we were always competing, even if she didn't know it. My mom was talking about how I would cry because my hair was shorter than her. Like, it's always been a competition, everything in my life. Like, things like, it's just, I don't know, it's in my DNA.
You know, and that's, I've always been interested in that, you know, a person's competitiveness, because I think it's so, so important, and then it leads to just success in life. But the question that comes up, you know, is that something you're just born with in the DNA? I personally don't think it's something you're going to get more competitive by reading a book. or I do think that, and I remember a coach telling me once that you can put your kids in competitive situations and then continue to grow and blossom off of that. I think there's maybe something to that. But again, I think you probably just have that. You have that just burning inside of you.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is also like I've always been a perfectionist and I always want to be the best. I always want to do the best at whatever I'm doing. And I think that might contribute to the competitiveness a little bit, that I just hold myself to a very high standard and I always expect the most from myself. So,
yeah. So you have a big high school career. Then it's time to decide where to go to college. And you had options, I know. What made you decide you're going to take your talents down to Austin, Texas?
The schooling. Macomb School of Business is the school that I'm in down at Texas, and it's one of the best schools, business schools in the nation. So that was the number one reason why I chose the University of Texas. And also, I knew if I went there, we'd be competing for multiple national championships. And here I am in year 4, and I've played for 3. So
yeah. You did have that setback. That was before your freshman year, right? You had the knee injury.
Yes, sir.
Missed the year. What was that experience like looking back?
It was hard. It was definitely one of the hardest years of my life. I lost my identity in my sport, and so I had to redevelop my own identity and figure out who Ashton is outside of softball. And so that was really a big challenge for me. But looking back on it, I wouldn't want it any other way.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely. The old everything happens for a reason quote comes out. Absolutely. Ashton Maloney joining us on In the Loop here this week. Ashton helped lead her Texas Longhorn softball team to the national championship in early June. So then you make the recovery, you get back. How did that feel to get back out on the field for that first game? I'm sure it's a game you remember vividly.
So we played in the fall a little bit, but I was still in the knee brace, so it didn't feel as real. But my first game back, I remember, was playing against Missouri. And then that was just special to me. My coach told me before my at-bat, like, this is what you've been working for, you know, 2 years almost. So go just have fun and do it. And I don't know, it was just a cool experience for me.
And so as you mentioned, this year you knocked the door down because you'd made it to Oklahoma City for the College World Series, came up a little bit short. For you personally, though, what kind of goals did you set for yourself as you've now progressed through this program? Because now it's culminated in this past year, leadoff hitter up at the top in hits. I think you were second in batting average. I mean, your batting average is .421. Most kids don't have that in little league or, you know, in peewee league. And then of course you start and play in all 66 games. How does somebody like you, bringing up competitiveness again? I mean, obviously you set some big lofty goals for yourself.
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the season, I just wanted to do whatever my team needed. We always talk about leave the jersey in a better place and just create a culture where I would want to play at. And that was my number one goal. And I think this year, Texas softball, we've really just bought into loving each other first, and putting our teammates above ourselves. So I knew that I was playing for 20 other girls rather than just going into the box alone. So I think that really helped me out this season and just helped me to play free and for my team. And obviously, you know, the numbers and stuff that comes along with just having a really clean mindset and just coming up to bat feeling free.
This year, 91 hits. That's a single season program record. And that's Texas softball. That's big time. How do you feel about that?
I think these stats are a little off. Yeah, I had 93 this year. So.
Oh, 93.
Yeah.
I'll have to blame my research.
Yeah, those aren't updated yet. But yeah, I broke one of Texas's greatest softball players' records. So it was really
big time.
It was really special for me, I guess. Yeah, that was the hardest. I got 92 game two of the championship series, and I knew that was the record.
So that wasn't updated.
No,
I'm just laughing.
93 was the record, and I got that in game three, and that was probably one of the hardest hits I've ever gotten. Like, it was just draining. I was like, I'm chasing a record, but I also, like, I care so much about winning a national championship that it doesn't even matter to me. So
yeah. Well, let's hone in then on this College World Series that took place. You work your way through those early games and then get advanced into the best of three series with Texas Tech, a Big 12 foe, in-state rival. You end up winning game one and game three to win it. What was that like playing in that atmosphere with so many eyeballs on that?
Yeah, I think the experience that our team has really helped us this year. I mean, we have seniors that have played in three national championships in the last 4 years, and just knowing that it's what happens between our team rather than the outside noise. We had played OU the previous two national championships. We lost both of those, and it felt like it was a home game for them. Because it, you know, it's in Oklahoma City, you know, 20 minutes away from Norman. But even when we were playing Texas Tech, they still had so many fans, so many more fans than we did. They traveled really well. And I think a lot of OU fans were also cheering for Tech. But just understanding that it's the man in the arena. It's what we do. It's how we control the game. And, you know, just slowing our heart rates down, breathing, and it's the same game we've played all year, just a little bit higher stakes.
Take me inside the batter's box as the leadoff batter for Texas in a College World Series. You have ABC, ESPN. What goes? I've always been curious. I mean, somebody like me, I would dream of being in that kind of a stage. And just what is going through your mind when you're there? Do you think about that, or is that just completely blocked out?
I think I think about it more when we're visitors. So, like, I'm leading off the entire game. I'm the first at bat of the entire game. Yeah. When we're home team, I get to sell in a little bit. Yeah, but yeah. Just when I'm leading off, when we're the visiting team, I think I'm just thinking about how can I set the tone early, get my team going early, just swinging early in counts as well. I try to get within the first three pitches, because that's going to be when the pitcher throws you her best pitch, is within the first three. So just not letting myself get deep in counts and just attacking the pitchers early, knowing that, you know, I can do it just as much as they can. So
you pull off the win over the Red Raiders. You win this national championship. What was that like in the moments following? That had to be crazy.
Yeah, everybody asks that question, and I'm always like, well, I don't remember. I blacked out. Yeah. So I'm just kidding. But moments following, it was awesome. It felt like we had finally done what we had set out to do, and we have fallen short, but we finally achieved that. And, you know, it was awesome just seeing Coach White, who's our head coach, and he won his first national championship, and he'd been coaching for a very long time, so that was really special for us. And I got to do the Gatorade dump on him, so that was kind of fun.
That's fun. That's fun. That's a memory for sure. How many autographs have you signed since early June?
A lot.
Just so our listeners know, and it's over there, my children accuse me of being fanboy. And I wish I would have done this earlier while in Liberty Schools, because I've had a chance to interact. And, of course, students like yourself, that student athletes, student performers, whether it be fine arts, they go on to do huge things. And most of them, I've at least had an opportunity to interact in some way. So now I'm like, why didn't I start this earlier? But see, I have a little tennis ball I got from, that was from Ava Beltran, who was a state champion, a freshman. She won the state championship in tennis as a freshman this past fall. Awesome. And got a chance to get that one. I'm gonna take your softball that you so kindly signed for me, and that's going to be in my man cave in the basement at home. So
one of my history teachers, when I was in high school, made everybody sign a piece of paper in case anybody was famous. He had their signature.
Really?
Yeah. He's no longer with Liberty Public Schools, but it was Vince Armelio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know Vince. Now, the athletic director at St. Pius.
Yes, yes.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to have to maybe follow his strategy, dude. That was a great idea. So he really did that.
Yeah, just some food for thought.
Coach Armelio. But yeah, I do appreciate the inscription. I will not be putting that on eBay or any to capitalize.
Yeah, I don't really care. You can do what you want with it.
But have you had a championship celebration?
Yeah, so we got back from the national championship on Saturday, and then Saturday evening we had a little thing at our field where all of the fans showed up and they packed the stadium. They were on the field, they were in the stands. It was really cool. And then our athletic director spoke, our coach spoke, Tegan spoke. It was really cool.
Yeah. Something I'm always curious about that I think some of our listeners might be interested in is, you know, you mentioned how you finish up at Liberty High. You take a long journey to Austin, Texas, and I'm guessing you didn't know a ton of people down there.
No.
How many did you know? Anyone really?
No, nobody on my team, no.
That's a scary experience for you.
Very scary, yeah. Austin is very different from Liberty.
Yeah.
Very different.
Big.
Yes.
Number of students that attend Texas?
I think it's bigger than Liberty. Yeah, I think it's 70,000.
Yes. Yes. So it's interesting timing, because we have recent graduates. My son just graduated and is going to be going to college. He's heading up to Maryville, my alma mater.
Right.
But I'm always curious, because I hear kids talk that have just graduated, and some of them, you know, they're so concerned that they're going to college with friends of theirs from high school. And the thing I try to add is, most likely, you're probably not going to end up with the same friends when you leave college that you entered college with. But what advice would you give a recent graduate as they make the next step to college?
Branch out. I think if you're only staying with your high school friends, like, you're never going to meet new people, do new things. I still talk to a few friends from high school. I'm still close with a lot of them, but I think a lot of my bridesmaids and a lot of the people that I'm going to talk to for the rest of my life are also the people that I've met in college. So I think it's just important to get to know a lot of them and just be open to meeting new people.
Yeah. Again, Ashton Maloney, our guest here, is part of In the Loop. We still have a few more minutes before we wrap up our time, and then we go and do another quick segment, an abbreviated segment, back at your alma mater across the street at Liberty High School. I think a lot of people might be curious, the success that you've had, just how much time do you put into playing at this level, whether it be workouts, whether it be conditioning, and then let alone hitting work, fielding work. What would you estimate?
Well, the NCAA only allows us to practice 20 hours a week. So outside of that, I would say, like, I mean, it's a full-time job. I mean, you have to eat right. You have to sleep right. You have to, like, stay on top of your schoolwork. You're managing a lot of different activities. So, I mean, my full day is centered around being a student athlete and just, yeah, it's a lot. It's a grind. Over the summer, we get a little bit of break from school, but it's still summer workouts, need to be hitting every day and just, you know, grind doesn't stop.
Yeah. You're well aware, and I'm sure you've lived it. You go around to these various parks all across the metro and they're filled up, whether it be baseball or softball players on weekends and tournaments and that grind. What advice would you give maybe first to a 10 to 12, 13-year-old young lady that wants to play at the Ashton Maloney level? Like, what advice would you give them? And maybe even more importantly, what advice would you give their parents as you now look back?
Enjoy it. Find the joy in working hard. I think a lot of times I looked at it as, this is what my job, this is what I'm good at, rather than this is what I enjoy doing. I think I've found a lot of that joy in the past year of just, I mean, my softball career is coming to an end. So I know that I need to be grateful for what I have this year, and I wish I would have started that earlier. I think a lot of the times I was really hard on myself, and I just took it a little too serious. At the end of the day, it's a game. I'm hitting a yellow ball with a stick. I mean, I think just enjoy it. Don't take yourself too seriously.
That's great advice. Great advice. You talked about your education down at Texas. Where do you see yourself in 5, 10, 15 years?
Great question.
Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that one out myself. So I don't know. Hopefully somebody's boss. That's all I care
about. Well, you know what? Just to put it out there for the record, I had no clue either when I was in your shoes. So if that makes you feel any better. We wrap this up by asking our guests 3 random questions.
Okay.
Just random, out of the blue. I didn't give a ton of thought to, but I thought they would be interesting.
All right.
And of course, I've not shared these with you in advance, so this is off the cuff. Question 1, who do you dislike more, Oklahoma or Texas A&M?
Ooh.
coming out hot.
A&M.
A&M, big rivalry. Of course, Oklahoma, you have the River rival.
Oklahoma's just been really good in softball for the past couple of years, but A&M fans are just a different breed.
And you get matchups with them now regularly.
Yeah, we played them in the SEC tournament. We didn't play them in the regular season, though.
Do you know, and I don't really have Division I allegiances to anyone, at being a Northwest Missouri State graduate. You playing for Texas these last few years, and I enjoy watching games. It's the first time I've ever cheered for Texas.
Well, I'm glad that I could sway you.
You swayed me. How about that? Okay. Oh, this is a good one. Most famous person you have met since this UT Ooh. Stardom. Have you had a class with Matthew McConaughey?
No, but I've met him. I'd probably say him. I've also, if there's any Chiefs fans, Jamal Charles, I met him.
Former Arch, Texas great.
Yeah, Arch Manning also met him. So I
mean, yeah, that's big. Not,
yeah. Trying to think. Oh, Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal stayed at our hotel.
You forgot Shaq?
I can't believe I forgot Shaq. I met Shaq.
You know that there are people out there doing podcast interviews asking who the most famous person they've met, and they're saying Ashton Maloney. Guaranteed.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But Shaq stayed at our hotel in Oklahoma City because the Thunder was playing in the playoffs.
That's right.
And he was showing us how to softball pitch. It was great.
Really?
He's tall. He's very tall.
Big man.
Big man.
Yeah, very big man. Well, we ran through several, all very, very interesting. You know, the world of women's athletics has exploded, obviously. Caitlin Clark. There's softball games on all the time.
AUSL, yeah.
Yes. The final question, if you could have breakfast with any female athlete, who would that be?
Probably, I'd say Caitlin Clark. I think she's really changed women's sports in the past few years, and she's very inspirational. She's also from Des Moines, so yeah. Fellow Midwest girl. So I don't know. I think I'd like talking to Caitlin Clark.
Yep, good. Well, those are the three random questions you passed with with flying colors. So I did. We've worked in your dad, your mom. Into this interview. Again, I appreciate Jill for serving as booking agent, got me the autograph, got me the interview. But I know your family means a lot to you. I even heard that you're going to be having lunch with Grandpa.
Yes.
So that gives me a little pressure to get this wrapped up to keep you on schedule. But I know they all mean a great deal to you.
Absolutely. Would not be here without my family and their investments into me. So
here's good old Dallas's piece of advice as I get more into an advanced age. When I heard your mom say you're having lunch with your grandpa, to this day, I lost my grandpa's. It's been, you know, one almost a decade ago, another a little longer than that. I catch myself all the time wishing I could ask him questions, find out more about his past. You have that opportunity, so okay. Take advantage of that.
I will today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you, Ashton, we cannot thank you enough for coming by and congratulate you. I know this entire community is so proud of you and the what you have accomplished, and I know there's so much more. And do you know where you're going to end up settling? Would you like to come back to the Kansas City area, or is it just going to be...
Wherever
the wind blows.
I'm not sure. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. You have plenty of time, and hope you have a great rest of the summer, and we'll look forward to seeing those horns back on the diamond here coming up next year.
For sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Ashton Maloney, so kind to join us on this week's edition of In the Loop.
Thanks for choosing to spend a few minutes with us and getting in the loop with LPS. Don't forget, you can also stay in the loop with us by following Liberty Public Schools on our various social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and by downloading our LPS mobile app for that mobile-friendly experience. This has been a production of the Liberty Public Schools Communications Office. For more about this podcast and all you need to know about LPS, visit our website at www.lps53.org.